This is the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, are hardliners in Iran making common cause with Republicans in the U.S.? President Obama claims they are. Senator John McCain is here in just a moment to respond. Also, Planned Parenthood is not the only organization receiving federal funds that is dealing in body parts of aborted babies. CNS News Editor-in-Chief Terry Jeffrey is here with the details. Also, let me encourage you, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics, our guests. You can also find out about the upcoming Values Voter Summit coming up September the 25th through the 27th right here in Washington, D.C. Again, that website, TonyPerkins.com. Well, earlier this week at the American University, President Obama did his best to defend his nuclear agreement with Iran, going as far as to say, quote, the world unanimously supports the deal. Now, I'm not quite sure what world he's living in, because I know the two countries right now that are dead against the deal, and that would be a majority of Americans and, of course, Israel. But that's not all he said. The president stated that those chanting death to America are making a common cause with the Republican caucus. That's a quote. Now, I agree with Charles Krauthammer, who said that this is a new low for the president. In America, we are open to debate. The Republicans have the right to express their disagreement. They're elected by the people to be a voice for the people. Well, joining me now is a man who has, I think, something of importance to say, not only about this issue, the president's comments, but about national security. He's a veteran, a Vietnam veteran. He was a prisoner of war. He was the GOP's nominee for president in the 2008 election cycle. He's the current senator from Arizona. He's been a longtime friend of mine, Senator John McCain. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you for having me back on, Tony, particularly in these times. And I want to thank you for all the great work that you do, not only with this program, but in other efforts to preserve this nation's security, which I think is at greater risk than at any time, at least since the end of World War II. And that is the opinion of many well-known and respected individuals on national security. And I thank you for having me on and keeping me informed. And as you just mentioned, I believe it's a new low for the President of the United States to say that people who disagree with him are aligned and are likely radicals in the streets of Tehran that hate America, that are saying death to Israel and death to America. That's a new low as far as my memory serves.
Senator McCain, the president himself admitted that in this deal, that some of the money, the assets that have been frozen that will be released to the Iranians, that will actually go to fund more state-sponsored terrorism that affects our friends in Israel and even here possibly in the United States. But he said that's the price of reaching this deal.
Well, I think you have to also pay attention to the fact that they are now, that the Iranians are now basically in control of Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Yemen. Recent reports that they're now supplying arms to the Taliban in Afghanistan. Have no doubt about their age-old ambitions, and now this will give them, the estimates vary, but around $100 billion to spend. And if anybody thinks that they're going to spend it on building community health centers, they're crazy. And they themselves have repeated time after time their commitment to exert their age-old ambitions. And frankly, Tony, they are succeeding. They are now in control in countries that before this president became president, we would never believe, for example, that they would control Lebanon. We would never have believed that they had taken over most of Yemen. And they continue these activities. They're still the world's, by all observers, the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism, including, by the way, a plot to kill the Saudi ambassador in Washington, D.C.
Right. Right. Senator McCain, earlier this week I was in Cleveland, Ohio for the presidential debate, and actually while I was there had a luncheon with about 100 pastors from Ohio. And this was one of the issues that the pastors brought up in their questions, was about this agreement with Iran and the threat that this brings to our ally Israel. And they wanted to know what can be done to stop this. Can the Senate, can the Congress stop the president from going forward with this agreement?
I think we can. Right now, I think, frankly, we could have sufficient votes of disapproval, but I am not confident right now that we have the votes to override a presidential veto, which he has pledged to do. I think it depends on the American people. I think it depends on the evangelical community to a large degree that is committed to the existence of the State of Israel and Jerusalem. I think it is up to many of our conservative friends to marshal the effort that's needed to educate the American people. Tony, the money, the inspections are flawed, the ability of the Iranians to continue after 5 years, it's conventional weapons, after 8 years, it's missiles, after 10 years, which is a blink of an eye in the Middle East, as you know, then they are basically free to do whatever they want to do. And one of the outcomes of this is, as you know, the entire Middle East will go nuclear because they see that Iran, the greatest, the sponsor of terrorism, will now have nuclear weapons. And that, of course, is in the most unstable part of the world. So there's, and by the way, the inspection procedures are secret. There's an agreement between the IAEA, that's the inspection organization, and the Iranians that we're not privy to know. I mean, is that crazy or what? Because these people have continuously cheated in their efforts to develop nuclear weapons, and we're not going to know the inspection procedures. The members of Congress are going to be expected to vote and not know what those procedures are. This is, and by the way, also, this is a treaty. You know that, and I know that. Why did Obama call it an agreement? Because he knew he would never get 2/3 vote in the United States Senate to ratify it. And so now we're going through this charade. And so I guess my answer is more and more public opinion polling is showing deep concern and opposition to this agreement, which is probably why you saw him yesterday speak out and attacking us personally. This president has this great habit of doing two things. One is attacking people personally, and two, setting up straw men. He is telling the American people, we only have two choices, either this agreement or war. And of course, you know, that is patently false. In hearings before the Senate Armed Services Committee, General Dempsey was asked, and other military leaders as well as civilian leaders, question, is the only option war? Aren't there other options? The answer, of course, is yes.
Senator McCain, we're almost out of time, but one final question for you. In your leadership position, I know you have looked closely at this deal. I know you know very well the status of events and the conditions in the Middle East. The Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, speaking out against this deal, coming to Congress to speak. But in your professional opinion, and as you have looked at it, how great of a risk does this pose to Israel?
Every major political party, every political party in Israel has condemned this deal, not just Bibi. And it is an existential threat to the State of Israel, and I believe that we should pay attention to him. But I know we are out of time, but I just want to thank you for all your efforts on behalf of this issue of Planned Parenthood. It is atrocious what's going on. We need to defund it, and those who argue that they do really other important functions as far as women's health is concerned, that's why we have community health centers. Right, Tony? And again, it's a little bit like Obama. They're setting up a straw man. But I really think that these horrific scenes and information that people are seeing is going to be something that just over time we will have to defund organizations. If they want to behave the way they want to on taxpayers' dollars, that's one thing. On taxpayers' dollars, absolutely not. And thank you for all your work in that area.
Yeah. Well, Senator, thank you. Thank you for joining us for this weekend edition of Washington Watch. And I know we're going to be speaking about this over the August break, hopefully helping to build that support you need to stop this deal that the president is trying to reach with Iran. Senator, thanks so much for being with us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And let me encourage you, during this break, members of Congress are going to be having town hall meetings. They're going to be visiting in the districts. And this is an opportunity for you to communicate with them your concerns. And as Senator McCain put out, just said, unless the American people speak out, Congress is not going to be able to stop this president. So it's important that you speak, especially if you live in a state that has Democratic senators. Speak to them. Let them know you're opposed to this deal. All right, folks, don't go away. When we come back, Terry Jeffrey, editor-in-chief of CNS News, is going to join us. Disturbing news of more government money going into the process that uses these body parts of aborted babies. That's next here on Washington Watch, the weekend edition. Don't go away. We're right back after that. On September 25th through the 27th, plan to be at this year's Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. to stand alongside thousands of like-minded Americans who want to see our country return to the founding principles of faith, family, and freedom. Confirmed and invited speakers include Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, the Benham Brothers, Dr. Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, Franklin Graham, Megyn Kelly, Governors Bobby Jindal, Scott Walker, Mary Fallon, Jeb Bush, and Sam Brownback. Senators Ted Cruz, Tim Scott, Marco Rubio, and Rand Paul, Representative Paul Ryan, and many more. Today's hottest topics will be addressed: religious liberty, life and marriage, national security, government overreach, and much more. Register before May 1st for just $99 at valuesvotersummit.org. That's valuesvotersummit.org. This September, stand with us to preserve this great nation. Values Voter Summit is sponsored by FRC Action, AFA Action, American Values, Liberty Institute, Ohio Christian University, and Family Research Council. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this weekend. Let me encourage you to, once again, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about the topics that we're discussing this weekend. You can also find out information about the upcoming Values Voter Summit, going to be held at the Omni Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C., September the 25th through the 27th. We'll have most, if not all, the presidential candidates. Unlike last week's debate, our stage is pretty big. We're going to have them all, one at a time, of course, but they'll be there, and I hope you will as well. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, the recent videos released by the Center for Medical Progress have really pulled back the curtain on Planned Parenthood and the dark world of the buying and selling of aborted baby parts. I mean, I think Americans have finally, they're finally coming to grips with what the court did to this nation almost 43 years ago in the Roe v. Wade case. They've just opened up Pandora's box. Well, not only is Planned Parenthood an organization that is funded with over $500 million of your tax dollars, we're now learning that other government-funded groups have been using this fetal tissue on humanized mice in an effort to advance knowledge surrounding HIV/AIDS and other diseases for some time. Terry Jeffrey at CNS News has found out that the tissue being used for these tests are from aborted babies from the 17 to 22 weeks gestation, all paid for by your tax dollars. Join me now to highlight this story, this information, amazing information. He is the editor-in-chief of CNS News, a frequent guest on our program, Terry Jeffrey. Terry, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me on, Tony.
Well, Terry, for our listeners who have not yet seen your article and read it, which they can, by the way, if they go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over, tell our listeners what you have discovered.
Well, what I found out was that a group of government-employed researchers working at a government laboratory in Montana that's run by the National Institutes of Health were creating what they called humanized mice by implanting these mice with tissues cut from human livers and thymuses that were cut out of babies that were at 17 to 22 weeks of gestational age. And the way I know that is because they actually published an article on April 24th of last year in a medical journal called the Journal of Immunological Methods. And when they, where they described in great detail how they manufactured these mice with tissue, fetal liver, and thymus taken from 17 to 22-week-old babies. And they did it, they said, Tony, because they wanted to explain their methods so that other scientists who try to replicate this would have a better chance of doing it in a way that worked. And in that, and the article itself, by the way, not only listed the four authors as being associated with the National Institutes of Health, Rocky Mountain Laboratories in Montana, but they said that this was intramural NIH research. It was supported by, it was funded by intramural NIH research money. So this was a U.S. government project conducted by U.S. government researchers with U.S. government tax money, and it needed babies who were 17 to 22 weeks of gestational age so it can contribute these two organs, liver and a thymus. And what they did, and they described in their paper, and I talk about it in my article, is they made 40 mice from a single human donor. So they had a baby who gave a liver and thymus that were in a condition sufficient for them to do what they did to transplant tissue from that single liver and single thymus from a single baby into 40 separate mice. And in one part of the article, Tony, they describe how in the process they take this human fetal liver that's been taken out of this baby, and they remove the gallbladder and the bile duct from the liver. They divide the liver into two parts, and they want to maximize the amount of hematopoietic stem cells, the blood stem cells from the liver that they're going to inject into the mouse later. And, but so they need as much liver, quite frankly, as they can get, fetal liver. And they take these two parts of the liver, and one they cut up into little fragments, and they transplant with little fragments of thymus from the same baby into the kidney capsule of the mouse. And then they take the other part of the liver they took from this baby, and they put it through this hideous process, and they extract the hematopoietic stem cells. And after this transplantation surgery that they've conducted on this mouse, transplanting human organ tissue into the mouse that they took from the aborted baby, they then inject these hematopoietic stem cells from the baby into the mouse and thereby create a human immune system in the mouse that they can infect with AIDS. Now, when you look at the paper and you read, and by the way, they got the tissue, they say, from Advanced Bioscience Resources in Alameda, California. When you read this paper and see what they did, you know, it raises a lot of questions. And I present it 30 questions about this and a related project that I write about in my story to the NIH back on July 22nd. And they would not answer my specific questions. And they gave me a statement where they did not answer it and tried to argue why they would not answer it. I followed it up, and they still would not answer my questions. They basically said they couldn't do it because the tissue from these babies came from an intermediary, and it was the intermediary that could answer my questions. And so I put the questions also to Advanced Bioscience Resources, which the government cited as the source of this human baby tissue. I gave them the exact same 30 questions. I emailed them to them. I talked to them on the phone, and they declined to comment. I also, as I mentioned in the story, I sent the same 30 questions to two of the government researchers, one who was listed as the lead researcher on this paper and another paper, and one who is the head of a section of the laboratory up there in Montana that the NIH on its website specifically says works with quote-unquote humanized mice. And I also sent the questions to a researcher at Massachusetts General Hospital who was a co-author with these same government scientists in another journal article in a journal called Blood, where they talk about the same mice, which I also discuss in my story. But none of them answered the questions.
So nobody wants to talk about this. I tell you, so many things running through my mind right now as you've described this. It appears that through these videos, we have just begun to see the tip of the iceberg in a very dark world in which we're using the body parts of aborted babies in in this area of government research, and it all ties back to the federal government and funding.
Yes. And this, you know, but by the way, so there was a second project I talked about in my story. In the original article in the Journal of Immunological Methods, they cite another article, the one that appeared in Blood on December 12, 2013. That article was, with the lead author was the same government researcher who was the lead author in the first article, but it had 14 co-authors, 8 of whom worked for the National Institutes of Health, 3 of whom are at Stanford University, 2 of whom were at Massachusetts General Hospital, including the one I sent questions to, and 1 was at the University of Duisburg-Essen in Germany. In that other article, they talked about building this exact mouse, which, by the way, is called a TKO-BLT mouse. The TKO standing for triple knockout, meaning changes that have been made to the mouse's system to make it more accepting of human tissue, and BLT standing for bone marrow, liver, and thymus. In this case, the liver and thymus coming from human beings. In that Blood article, they talk about how they built this mouse and how they claim it's an improved model of a mouse for infecting with the human immune deficiency virus, the HIV virus which causes AIDS, in order to do research on vaccines and possible therapies and cures for AIDS. In that article, they also used tissue that they got from Advanced Biosciences resources, and it was supported not only, the research that was reflected in that Blood article was supported not only by the intramural money of the NIH, so you had government scientists again working with government money on a government project to build these mouse, that is also supported by an NIH grant that went to the Massachusetts, a group, the Ragon Institute at the Massachusetts General Hospital, which is a collaboration between Massachusetts General Hospital, MIT, and Harvard. And this grant, when you look into it, was specifically for studying infection of HIV in these BLT mice. And this year, and I linked to the actual grant description on the NIH website that I'm talking about, so people can link on it, they can look through the link and they can see what I'm talking about. But this year, the NIH gave the Massachusetts General Hospital a grant for a sub-project in the original grant to study HIV infection in this humanized mouse, specifically for an animal core at the laboratory to produce these mice with human fetal thymus and liver. So that's why I directed the same questions to the researcher at Massachusetts General Hospital. And by the way, Tony, the questions I were asking them were things like, what is the maximum and minimum gestational age a baby can be to contribute a liver and a thymus to this research to be transplanted into a mouse? Are there methods of abortion that cannot be used because it would disrupt the thymus and the liver in a way that would make it not usable in this kind of research? I did ask them, and they did not answer, whether any of the babies that donated their liver and thymus to create these mice came from abortions that were done in Planned Parenthood facilities. They did not. That was, you know, among the questions they did not answer. I also told them, I asked them, would they give me a copy of the donor form that they give, the consent form they give to the mothers when they sign off to allow their babies to be used by research? And I asked them, did they specifically tell the mothers that tissue from their baby would be transplanted into a mice? Those are the kind of questions they did not answer. I sent it to them. I gave it to them, gave them plenty of time to answer. They did not answer.
Crickets. This is fascinating, Terry. You're listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Terry Jeffrey, editor-in-chief of CNS News. Fascinating article he's written that really kind of connects all these pieces. And Terry, it looks like Planned Parenthood is at the mouth of the pipeline that is funneling these baby body parts throughout government-funded science research across the country.
Yeah. Now, like I said, I asked them, did any of the babies whose livers and thymuses ended up in these mice, in these two particular projects,
right,
did they come from abortions that were done in Planned Parenthood facilities? They would not answer my question.
The researchers did not answer my question. They probably don't know, because there is an intermediary that is, as we've seen already in these videos, someone who buys and then sells or distributes these body parts. So there is a kind of a separation there, I guess, for deniability purposes.
Well, right. In the NIH research, in the Blood article, in the Journal of Immunological Methods article, they specifically said the tissue came from Advanced Biosciences resources. And as I said, I sent the exact same questions to Advanced Biosciences Resources. I talked to him on the phone, so I asked them, did any of the babies come from abortions done in Planned Parenthood facilities? And they wouldn't answer. So, but also, Tony, the experiment at Massachusetts, the grant that went to Massachusetts General Hospital, and its program, it's a collaboration with MIT and Harvard, the grant itself, the grant description does not specify where that program is getting its fetal tissue. It doesn't say Advanced Biosciences Resources. So I asked in my 30 questions, one of them is, or I did ask, did Advanced Biosciences Resources provide, where did you get the fetal tissue for the Massachusetts General Hospital project? I asked Advanced Biosciences Resources directly, did they provide the tissue to Massachusetts General Hospital's program? That question was not answered. But here, you're right. The bottom line is, at the end of the line, the final destination of the organs taken from these dead babies is government researchers and government-funded researchers, absolutely without question, in these two programs that I described in my article. And I can tell you I know, because I've reported on it before and I'm going to be reporting on it more, that there are absolutely other projects funded by the federal government where it's federal government-funded researchers who are the end recipients of this tissue being extracted from the aborted babies.
And that is why, that explains in part, I think, why you see so many people rallying to the defense of Planned Parenthood, or at least, like you see many in Washington, not wanting to see that organization defunded, even though they have been caught in such atrocious, is the only way I can describe, behavior when it talks about these dealing in baby body parts as if they were parting out junked cars. Absolutely amazing. Terry Jeffrey, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate this insightful piece, and we're going to encourage people to read it. All right, folks, we're out of time for this weekend. I thank you for joining us, but I do want to encourage you to go to TonyPerkins.com and read Terry's article. Fascinating. As I've said once many times before, Terry, a great journalist, investigative journalist. They have great information at CNSNews.com, so be sure and check out. All right, until next time, I do hope you'll join us again next time. But until then, I leave you once again with the encouraging words found in Ephesians chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul speaks to the Ephesians, saying, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234.